What if you threw a party and nobody came? Irish 20th century composer Ina Boyle lived most of her working life without recognition, her works rarely performed and routinely rejected. In recent years, that tide has turned and curiosity about the Enniskerry composer grows. Just as well, then, her manuscripts, most of them handwritten, have found their way to the library at TCD Dublin, where a selection of them feature in an exhibition, Tune In, A Millennium of Music in Trinity College Library. I went to the long room to pour the glass cases in the company of Dr. Ita Bosang, Boyle's biographer, who's lecturing on the composer tomorrow.
All her music is here, right from the age of 11, when she was doing her theory questions with her teachers, right to the end of her days when she was in her 70s and she was writing an opera, children's opera. So everything, all her family papers, photographs, it's a huge archive.
As her biographer, she did make life a little bit difficult for you, didn't she? Because she instructed that a lot of maybe very interesting papers be destroyed.
Well, unfortunately, her letters, letters that she got from her mother or her sister, were in her will, she asked for them to be destroyed. And she really wanted to be remembered by her music, and that's all there. I can find out a lot about her from reading her notebooks as well. She left a memoranda and the note of the lessons that she had with Vaughan Williams, which tell a lot about her as well.
How did that relationship work, herself and Vaughan Williams? She became a private pupil of his.
Well, she was a friend in the end. It started off Dear Miss Boyle and then changed to Ina, and postcards, very friendly. And Vaughan Williams' wife writing to her and thanking her for the violets that she had sent from Enniskerry, from Bushy Park, after she'd gone home. She sent them in moss. And she used to lunch and tea with them, spend the whole day.
Do you see a relationship between her music and that of Vaughan Williams?
Oh, very much so. It perhaps worked to her disadvantage a little bit, but you're quite right, especially the violin concerto has a very strong resemblance to The Lark's Ending. There was a prejudice to a woman composer, there's no doubt about that. The strange thing is that very often she just put eyeball on her scores, and once or twice people thought that it was a man. One of the reviewers referred to he. But it just was the way things were. Women were Elizabeth McConkie was a trailblazer, and before that, Ethel Smith. But there were few and far between. Now it's different. Women have come into their own as composers. She was very tolerant. At the end of her life, she wrote that she would have liked more recognition, but that she was happy to have to live in her house and to keep composing. So it didn't, she wasn't upset by rejection. That's a very interesting photograph with Elizabeth McConkie in the middle and Freddie May on the left and E.J. Moran at the side. That photograph was taken by Tilly Fleischman, Alois Fleischman's mother, in West Cork in 1937 or 8. And it was after a performance of some of their works in Cork by the Cork Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Alois.
You see that photograph there, and they're all sitting in front, together in the sunshine, sitting in front of a dry stone wall. You get the sense there that she wasn't a lonely composer. There was a society. There were friends who were involved in the same game, and they had some kind of support from each other.
That's true. Elizabeth McConkie in particular was a tremendous friend, even though she was 18 years younger than Ina Boyle. But their families were friendly before that. And Freddie May was much younger, as you can see. But when the Music Association of Ireland was founded in 1948, Ina Boyle played a very big part in its foundation, but she never went to the meetings because she lived out in Enniskerry, which at that time, I mean, it's a joke now to think that it was a long way from Dublin, but she didn't often go into Dublin for anything. Luckily, I was able to get in touch with some of her relatives and people who knew the family. You can get a lot of insight from anecdotes and from reading her memoranda, which is a great source, and reading some letters that I found also from her neighbour, Viscountess Pardscourt, Sheila Wingfield. So putting all that together, it's quite possible to build a picture of her personality and of her devotion to music. And in the lecture that I'm giving on Thursday, I've given it a title, No Coward Soul Is Mine. And that's for two reasons. First of all, because she set Emily Bronte's poem for Contralto and String Orchestra, and it was performed. It was performed in London in 1960 in the Wigmore Hall with Janet Baker, no less, singing the contralto part. And the second reason is because I think it's a very good summary of Ina Boyle herself. No coward soul is mine. She wasn't afraid, even though she was a very reserved, retarding person in some ways, but she wasn't afraid to follow her desire to compose and to promote her music.
Dr. Ita Bosang there in that lecture, No Coward Soul Is Mine, Ina Boyle's Legacy, is at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening at TCD.